Tonight I want to talk to you about a subject called guidelines for living. You know, we all need guidelines. It's like driving on the road. If we didn't have guidelines, we'd all crash into each other. We'd all have a difficult time. In fact, kind of a funny thing, my uncle was driving one time with a friend, and he was driving in the middle of the road, and his friend said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I pay my taxes, I get half the road, and therefore I want the middle half." But see, those lines are there for a reason. They're there to keep us going in a certain direction. They're there to keep us safe. They're there to benefit us and make sure that we're able to do life together and to do life a certain way. And don't you know that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who penned the plan of redemption, carried it out in his son here on the earth, and now the one who is seated at the right hand of God, God has a plan for our life. God has desires for our life. God wants our life to be blessed, and God wants our life to be a certain way. And therefore, God provides for you and I guidelines, almost markers on the road of life as we walk and as we go, not only to keep us going in the right direction, but also to keep us from crashing, to keep us from running into something that we shouldn't, to keep us in line, if you will. And it's not really just because God's some egotist or some legalistic freak in the sky that just wants to rule and dominate your life. No, God knows what's good for you and I. God knows how things work, and God sees the road ahead, and therefore he provides guidelines to keep us safe, to benefit us, to bless us, and to keep us going. I would like for you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Micah, Old Testament, prophet Micah. In fact, I have a son named Micah. He's my middle child. And we're going to go to Micah chapter number 6. In Micah chapter number 6, some of you guys could sing this verse if you've been around church for a while. I know I could. We used to sing this one when I was growing up. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, we find some guidelines for living. Micah chapter number 6, verse number 8 says this. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Oftentimes people say, what is it that God wants from me? How does God want me to live? How does God want me to do life? And as we read the rest of this verse, we're going to see, he has shown you, oh man. He's painted some lines on the ground. He's made some guidelines for you and I, guidelines for living. He's shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And now he answers the question, look at this, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These are the guidelines that God provides in Micah chapter 6, verse number 8 for you and I. As we look at these things, we see three things there. Now, tonight I could have just ran through them and gone through all three real fast and kind of gave you an overview. But I really feel like if we spent some time and really dug deep and dug into these things, that it will benefit us and it will bless us, because God's word is not fast food meant to be devoured. God's word is like a choice meal. It's like sitting down at a steakhouse. You know, you ever wonder why they give you those little teeny tiny pieces of meat at an expensive steakhouse? Well, because it's worth it to slow down, to take your time and to actually taste what they're doing with that food. As you do, you realize, my goodness, you get this little teeny tiny piece on your fork and you put it in your mouth and you chew it, and oh my goodness, flavors are bursting out everywhere, and you can taste the salt and the pepper and the different spices that they used, and you can tell that they had it in there for a certain amount of time. It's hot, but yet it still is juicy, and oh my goodness, we're all hungry now. Let's get back to the word of the Lord. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Tonight I want to talk to you about one of the guidelines for living, and that is to do justly. To do justly. The Bible tells us that the Lord loves justice. In fact, you read that several times in your Bible, that you, O Lord, love justice. My goodness, God loves justice. And it also says that God will cause justice to shine like the noonday. Think about that for a second. God will cause justice to shine like the noonday. If you walked outside today in the 100 degree plus weather wherever you were at, and you took a look up at the sun, your eyes would start to squint and eventually close. Why? Because it was so bright, so vibrant, so hot, that you almost couldn't stand up under that weight and that heat and that brightness. God says that he will cause his justice to shine like the noonday. So the question for you and I is, what is justice? What is justice? You know, we have some concepts. We think about it. Well, when somebody who is wrong gets punished, you know, or they catch the criminal and they lock him up, that's justice. Somebody was wrong, somebody was defrauded, and therefore they went and somebody made it right on their behalf, and that was justice. And that's okay, and that's a very worldly understanding. But listen, when we approach the Word of God and we find out that God is a just God, and that God loves justice, we've got to approach it in a different sense. What is justice? Justice is simply this: when the plan of God is carried out. Why? Because God is just. And whatever God says is right. Even though we may not like it, oftentimes it doesn't fit into our thinking or the way we calculate data that we accumulate. We see things and we add 1 plus 1 and we say, well, 1 plus 1, well, that definitely equals 2. And God comes along and says, no, I don't want it this time to equal 2. I want it to equal 4. And you say, but God, that's not right. And God says, but I'm just. And we say, but God, that's not fair. Everybody else got 1 plus 1 and that's 2. How come when they get 1 plus 1, it equals 4? And God says, because I'm just. And we would want to come and argue with God and say, God, but wait a second. God, this doesn't calculate. This doesn't compute. I don't understand. And God is saying simply, whatever I say goes. Why? Because he's God. He can do that. The one who speaks and planets exist. If he says something about your or my life, therefore it's just, it's right, it's good, and it's fair according to what God says. And listen, when God settles accounts, when we wrap this whole thing up, God is just and the justifier, the Bible says. And therefore, we, including Pastor Dan up here, who should have been in hell, when God declared us innocent by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's just. Even though it's not fair. Are you listening tonight? See, we would talk ourselves out of a blessing. We would talk ourselves out of the goodness of God. We would talk ourselves out of the justice of God if we could, but God is saying this is not about what we can think or what we can calculate here on the earth. It's about what he says. The Bible says God is in his holy heavens and he does whatever pleases him. Why? Because it's just, it's right, it's fair. And therefore, justice is when the plan of God is carried out. That's justice. For the life of the believer, you can see the immediate application of this in that when we do the plan of God, we are now operating in his justice. Someone else may say, well, that's not fair. That's not right. But you say, but it's just according to what God says. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me, but now I'm going to carry it out. I'm going to do it. Why? Because God loves justice. And God will make justice to shine like the noonday. God will make it become brighter and brighter. The original word carries the idea of judgment in a court of law. Think about it like this. The state of California has laws, right? Things that are passed. Things that in a court of law, the gavel comes down and they say, this is how it's going to be. Bang, the speed limit is 65 on the freeway. Okay? Now that happened without you or I ever making that decision. That happened before we came along. Here's the signpost on the road. Here's what's going on. And so therefore, when we see that signpost, a law has been passed. And the law is just. It's the right way. And whether you agree with it or not, when you do it, you are now carrying out justice. Apply this to the Word of God. The Word of God has been around for thousands of years before you and I were ever a twinkle in our mother's eye. Here comes the Word of God, and we start to find out what it says, and we say, well, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't compute. This doesn't calculate. This doesn't please my flesh. I would want to work a different way. I don't understand why it has to be that way. I don't understand why God would say, don't do this or do this or be this way. And yet, when we do the will of God, when it's carried out in our life, that's justice. That's what God is saying. Because why? Because in the high courts of heaven, the gavel has come down. This is the way it's going to be. And therefore, when you do it, you are just. Luke chapter 11, please turn there with me. We see Jesus talking about justice. Luke chapter number 11. There were some guys who were holding to a system, to the Old Testament law. They were very legalistic about it. And they were called the Pharisees. These guys held to the strictest form of the law. And yet Jesus had something to say about them. Jesus said, you guys have got it all wrong. Luke chapter 11, verse number 42. Luke chapter 11, verse number 42, Jesus is speaking and he says this. He says, but woe to you Pharisees. So he's saying, you guys have got this all wrong. Woe to you Pharisees. Why? For you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and look at what they do, and pass by justice and the love of God. And look at how Jesus wraps up his comments. These, what? Justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You see, Jesus came under the law. He says, you guys still need to do the law, but don't miss out on what's important. What's important is justice and the love of God. And that's where the heartbeat of tonight is. This guideline for living, to do justly, is that we ought to do these things. Yes, we can still take a look at the commandments. We can take a look at the things in the Bible, you know, like tithing or like other things that we would see in the Bible, being loving to our neighbor and that sort of a thing. But ultimately, we need to be just and do justice and hold on to the love of God and not leave the other stuff undone. That seems like a rule or seems like something that we would say, well, yeah, that's not important. Still do that stuff, but make sure it comes out of heart of justice. Make sure it comes out of a love of God flowing in and through you. That's what this is really all about tonight. Tonight, a couple of things to do justly. I'm going to complete that sentence a couple of times as we go through tonight. To do justly. I believe that it'll help us to understand this guideline for living. To do justly, number one, is right in God's eyes. We've already discussed this. We've already said a lot about it, but I believe the Word of God has more to say. Turn to me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 21. Back to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter number 21. Talking about to do justly is right in God's eyes. If it's right in God's eyes, then it's got to be good for me too. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 3. Look at what it says. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow, that's amazing. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable. Everybody say more acceptable. Now see, he didn't say that the other one wasn't acceptable. It was acceptable. But to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now why is this important to us? Oftentimes, we don't understand verses like this because we did not live under the law before we came to Christ. We lived however we wanted to live. We had no law. We just were kind of out there doing our own thing. We had no concept of what took place under the Old Testament system, most of us in this room. And what God is saying is under the Old Testament system, there were a bunch of laws. And if you broke any one of those laws, the way that you were going to cover that sin, the Old Testament calls it atonement. The way you were going to atone or cover for that sin is that you were to bring a sacrifice. You were to bring either a lamb or a ram, or there were different sacrifices you could bring. You could bring a small bird if you didn't have the money for the lamb, that sort of a thing. And so they had different ways of covering that sin, and you had to slaughter that animal. And you had to give that sacrifice to the Lord, and that sacrifice was the acceptable way to cover that sin. And so what is God saying? God says to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than to sacrifice, than to cover your sin. Why? Because the sacrifice often involved guilt. Sacrifice often involved shame. Why? Because I screwed up and therefore I need to bring this sacrifice. Oh yeah, there were other sacrifices under the Old Covenant system, the Old Testament system that you brought that wasn't because you messed up. You know, there was the free will offering, there was the peace offering, there was different things that you could bring to the Lord that did not involve sin. But without the right heart, it's worthless. Do you hear what I just said? Without the right heart, it's worthless. See, God would rather have your heart than your gift. Let me say that again. God would rather have your heart than your gift. Why? Because out of your heart, if the love of God is flowing through your actions and your activities daily, and you're doing God's ways, God has your heart. God would rather have your heart than your gift. God would rather have you doing justly than messing up and bringing sacrifice. God would rather have you doing justly than to just go through the motions and, oh, I need some favor with God, therefore I'm going to bring him a peace offering or a sacrifice or an offering or a tithe or whatever. God's not concerned with any of that. Remember, Jesus said don't neglect that, but at the same time, make sure that those weightier matters, justice and the love of God, are flowing in and through you. Like what the Old Testament prophet Amos was saying in Amos chapter number 5. Turn there with me. Amos chapter 5. You go through some of the Old Testament prophets. You were just in Micah. Go from Micah to Jonah to Obadiah backwards, and you'll find Amos. Amos chapter 5. It's on page 1178 in my Bible. Amos chapter number 5, verse number 21 through verse number 24. Some of you guys are saying, well, wait a second. Pastor Dan doesn't have a Rock Bible, does he? Different in my Bible. What's up with that? Amos chapter number 5, verse number 21 through verse number 24. This is how God feels when it's not coming out of a heart of justice. See what's right in God's eyes. Amos chapter 5, verse number 21 says these words. It says, I hate. These are strong words. Next two words, look at this. I despise. Do you think God is angry? I mean, when you read some of this, I picture God is so mad speaking this that it's almost like a parent who's angry at their kids and they can't even get the words out right. You know what I mean? Some of you parents out there know what I'm talking about, where you're like, listen, son, and you kind of have to take a breath and then you start up again. I think that's how God is feeling at this point. He says, I hate, I despise your feast days. And I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings. Remember, it's more acceptable to do justly than it is to bring a sacrifice. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Verse 23, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Verse 24, look at this, but let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. See what God's interested in? Notice he said, I won't hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Why? Because he's not listening to the melody of stringed instruments. He's listening to the melody of your heart. And he says, let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. I was, for fun, reading this in The Message. You know, a lot of people don't like The Message. They say, oh, it's not Bible. Listen, it's somebody's paraphrase. This is how somebody put this together. They read it and they put it together for their kids. And now for you and I, we can kind of read it and get some more understanding out of it. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 through 24 in The Message Bible, Message paraphrase, says this. I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Wow. And then he says these words. Do you know what I want? I want justice. Oceans of it. I want fairness. Rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. I think he hit the nail on the head with that one. My goodness. For you and I today, we can understand that terminology. And that's what God is looking for. God is not looking for us to go through the motions. God's not looking for us to come into church with an empty heart and an empty head. And oh, everybody else is lifting their hands, so I guess I should too. And they're singing the song. And, you know, we kind of flick a tear every now and then. We get the Holy Ghost goosebumps. And we go out of here and do whatever we want. God is not interested in that at all. God's looking at your heart. God's listening to your heart. And when you sing to him, when you lift your hands to him, when you cry out before him, God is looking on the inside to see if it matches up with the outside. My goodness. That's what God wants. God wants us to do justly, and it's right in his eyes. Number one, to do justly is right in God's eyes. Second thing for tonight, to do justly, number two, is learned and developed. Number two, to do justly is learned and developed. Somebody say, thank God. The reason why I say that is because sometimes we think we have to have it all together overnight. Hear a message like this and you feel bad because you weren't into praise and worship tonight and he's hammering that thing and I don't know what I did wrong and pastor, I'm new at this. Well, listen, God's not expecting you to do this overnight. I heard somebody say it like this one time. It takes time to die on the cross. See, we've been crucified with Christ. It was a process when you were crucified. There was beatings, there was suffering, there was carrying the cross, there was mockings and scourgings. Then you were finally nailed to that cross and you were lifted up and you didn't die immediately. It wasn't like, oh, we're up on the cross, boom, you're dead. No, it took time. It takes time to die on the cross. You and I have been crucified with Christ. We've crucified our lust and our flesh and our passions and desires, and it doesn't happen overnight. Come on, let's take the pressure off, church. Sometimes we've got such a pressure to perform. And I'm not saying don't be passionate. I'm not saying don't be diligent. I'm not saying don't resist and bite and scratch and fight and resist the devil and do all that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the pressure and the weight we put on ourselves to be perfect. God is looking for a perfect heart that seeks after him and does justly. And God's looking for us to learn this and to develop this in our hearts. God's looking for us to follow him and to grow up spiritually. Listen, it took us however long we were on the earth to grow to where we're at today physically. Spiritually, it takes us time to develop and grow. Why? Because you don't know anything. You get saved, you get a couple scriptures, you think you can take on the world, you get out there, you fall down and you go, what did I do wrong? Listen, you're learning. You're learning and you're developing and you're growing. That's why oftentimes you read in the Bible that the Apostle Paul is telling the people, you should be teachers by now because of how long you've been at this, because of what you know, but I got to break you back down to the elementary principles. I got to feed you milk again. We got to grow up here. That's why you read in the prayers that we would grow spiritually, that we would come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's why you read the prayers that talk about that I want you to be rooted and established, built up, and then you will be growing and fruitful in your knowledge of God. See, there's a process that we have to go through like anything. We know it here on the earth. We understand it. There's foundations. Then you build the structure, and then you put on the pretty stuff, right? And you put on all the glitz and the glam and all that. After you've got a good solid foundation, and after you've got your infrastructure, then you can hang everything else on it. And we understand that naturally, but spiritually, we expect to be Superman overnight. And God is saying, I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to develop this in your heart. You're going to wonder, am I doing this the right way? Am I going after it the right way? But this is how it works, brick by brick, layer by layer. You come to church, you get one thing, and you start to incorporate it in your heart. And you say, oh, that's what God wants from me? Okay, that's a guideline. I'm gonna walk according to that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go God's way. Oh, okay, you're in church, and you hear another message. Okay, I got another principle. I got something else I'm going to add to my life. Love how the book of 2 Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. See, faith is where you start. You believe God. He said, add to your faith what? Goodness. Okay, well, I'm going to start living good. I'm going to start living God's way. Add to your goodness knowledge. Okay, I'm going to learn something about God. And the knowledge, self-control. I'm going to start doing what the Word of God says. To self-control, perseverance. I'm going to stand up under it. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. See, it's a process that we go through. You're there in the book of Amos. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. In Isaiah chapter number 1, take a look at what it says in verse number 17. Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 17 says this. It says, learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Wow. God is saying it right there in front of us. Right there in the Word of God. Learn. That means you have to get in there and find out how to do this. That means you have to go after it. You have to apply yourself. Learn to do good. Seek. Seek takes time. If you've ever been looking for your keys when you're trying to run out the door, you understand how 1 minute can be a long, long time, right? And you're going everywhere. You're seeking for it. You're trying to find it. Then you find them under the couch cushion, of course, or wherever the kids left them or where you left them. Or they might even be in your hand sometimes, praise the Lord. But you're seeking. What are you doing? You're running around. You're going after it. You're trying to find it. Seek justice. Seek the way of the Lord. Find out what's pleasing to God. Get after it. Go everywhere you can looking for it. And then look what he outlines. A couple of things. Rebuke the oppressor. Rebuke the oppressor. Stand up and say something when something's wrong, is what he says. Do something about it when you know it's unjust. Look what it says. Defend the fatherless. See, there's people that don't know because they never had somebody tell them this is how it is. That's why this church does what we do with our SPTs. That's why this church preaches and teaches so many different messages during the week. That's why we're constantly training people and doing leadership development. That's why we have a Bible college. Why? Because we're trying to help people to grow up in their faith. Trying to help people get a hold of this and get built up and strong in the ways of the Lord. Defend the fatherless. Look at what it says. Plead for the widow. Who's the widow? The widow's somebody who doesn't have a husband to take care of her. The widow's somebody who doesn't have the means to do this on her own. My goodness, that's why we have feeding programs. That's why we're in the convalescent hospitals. That's why we've got people under the bridges ministering to the homeless. That's why this church does what we do. Why? Because it's just in the eyes of God. And we're carrying out the justice of God, but it didn't happen overnight. We learned how to do this. And we grew in that, and we sought the will of the Lord, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we tried stuff, and if it worked, it was good. If it didn't work, we adjusted, and we changed. One of the best ways to learn and to develop this is to talk about it. Talk about it. Open your mouth and talk to somebody about it. In the Old Testament, you read that they were supposed to bind these laws around their hands. And they actually had these things that they put on their foreheads. It was a little box that contained the scriptures inside of it. And they would put it up here on their head. And also, when they walked through their doors of their homes, they had it right there on their doors. And in fact, if you go to Jerusalem today, and you walk through the gate of the city, you will see this massive, massive box up there that contains the scriptures on the inside of it. And people walk by, and they kiss it, and they rub it. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, talk about it to your husband and wife. Train your kids in this. And we learn a lot of times when we can work things out and speak to somebody about it and tell somebody about it. You know, if you ever have to teach something, you'll learn it real fast. Why? Because you can't teach somebody without learning it yourself. You've got to get it down on the inside of you. And so some of you guys need to go home and you need to preach this message to your neighbor. Some of you guys need to preach this message to your kids. Some of you guys who your husband or wife isn't here need to go home and preach this message to your husband or wife. Maybe you could even preach it to the mirror because you might need to hear it again. Hallelujah. I know I do. Praise the Lord. Look at what it says in Psalms 37, verse number 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice. Wow. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice. See, we can't stay silent about the things of God. We can't just hold this. This is not just our faith. Oh, it's mine. Yes, it is mine and I own it. But listen, if it's yours, it needs to spill out of you. See, because whatever you put on the inside of you is what's going to come out of you. The Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that means that whatever you get deep down on the inside of you, whatever you believe, whatever has been approved in your life and what you know the will of God is and what you know the way of God is, and you're going to carry out that will of God in your life, that plan of God in your life, now you start talking about it. You start to chop it up. You start to digest it. You start to chew on it. You start to meditate on it. You start telling somebody about it. All of a sudden they come up, well, I read this scripture. Oh yeah, that's cool too. Hey, take a look at this. Look at, I was thinking about this and how my life, when I go through this situation, see, you can apply it to any situation. What's the justice of God for your marriage? You need to learn. What's the justice of God for your kids? You need to learn. What's the justice of God when it comes to your finances? You need to learn. What's the justice of God when it comes to being in business or working with good ethics? What's the justice of God when it comes to being an influence in the community? See, God's word, God's will, God's way, the laws of God, the precepts of God, the commandments of God that are contained in this Bible, you got to get in there. You got to dig it up. It's like gold. Sometimes you got to go through a lot of stuff to get that one nugget. And once you get it, you polish it. You get rid of all the stuff on the side, and you start to polish it off, and you start to find out, hey, this is gold. This is something. This is real. This is worthy. This is valuable. And I'm going to keep it in my life. Tonight, to do justly, number one, is right in God's eyes. Number two, to do justly is learned and developed. Last thing for tonight, to do justly comes from godly character. To do justly comes from godly character. Now, I didn't say comes from our character, because our character, when we were born and raised, is natural, it's fleshly. But now we've got the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. And when you have a godly character and you allow the Spirit of God to live His life through you, the Bible says, I've died now. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And so as you allow that godly character to flow out of you, Jesus to live His life through you, that means that you're wearing Jesus, but He's wearing you. My goodness, that's a cool thing. So every morning when you put on your clothes, remind yourself that you're putting on the righteousness of God, that you're putting on His robe, that He's robed you with His righteousness, that now you're putting on Jesus. You are wall to wall Holy Spirit when you wake up in the morning. But also remember that He's wearing you. He lives on the inside of you, and now He wants to do things in and through you. He's got divine appointments for you. And so the justice of God will flow from your relationship with God. Let's take a look at it in the Word. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And let's take a look at what is said about this man by the name of Abraham. Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter number 18. And just to tell you what's going on, God is about ready to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, how could a loving God destroy people? Well, He's just. What we see God doing, God was just in His ways. These people were wicked. These people were committing crazy acts. And yet God knew that Abraham's nephew Lot was there with his family. And take a look at it in Genesis chapter number 18. And actually, I'm going to back up. It's not on the overhead, but I just want to read to you part of the verses beforehand, because I believe it'll help us to understand more about what's being said. Genesis chapter number 18. I'm going to start in verse number 16. We'll read through verse number 19. 19 will be up on the overheads for you. Genesis 18, verse 16 says, then the men arose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. So here's Abraham. He's been sitting down having a covenant meal, and here he is speaking to God, and there's angels with him, and that's what it's talking about. Look at verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, hold on a second. See, there was a promise of God that was given to Abraham that he would be blessed and would be a blessing, and that his seed that came after him would be blessed. So we know that Messiah is going to come out of his line. We know that it's going to be a blessing to all nations. And now on the other side of the cross in the New Testament, we find out that we are Abraham's children. We're a part of that nation. How? By faith. Because Abraham was in faith, believing God, and God accredited to him as righteousness. And so now we, by faith, are a part of that nation. And God says, am I going to hide what I'm doing from Abraham, since I've promised him some things, and since I'm going to make him a great nation, and since he's going to be a blessing? Now look at verse number 19. Look at what it says. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. What does that mean? That means that God looked at Abraham and he saw a characteristic on the inside of Abraham of faith. And he said, I can trust Abraham with my will. I can trust Abraham with what I'm about to do. Why? Because Abraham is going to train his family out of his godly character to do justice. on the earth. Abraham's not going to question me. Abraham's not going to go against me. Abraham is going to create and produce the same godly character in those that come after him. We see this in Isaac. We see this in Jacob. We see this in the generations that come after him. And now we see that same spirit of faith in all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where this is at. It comes from a godly character. Last verse for tonight. Psalms 106 verse 3. I'll put it up on the overheads for you. Blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Oh, come on. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed are those who keep justice. And he who does righteousness at all times. See, when you do the will of God, when you carry out the plan of God in your life and you do justice, there's a blessing that comes. Remember, God said, I know Abraham. I know him so well, and I know what I'm going to do. I know I'm going to bless him, and those who come after him will be blessed. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. But look at what it says. Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. What does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for you and I? That means that when we do the will of God, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we take a look at the will of God, and we take a look at the plan of God, and we say, God, I don't understand. God, why would you want me to give that up? God, why would you want me to deny myself? God, why would you give me this passion and this desire, and yet now I have to sacrifice it on the altar? See, there's a lot of questions we have about the plan of God. And yet God says, I'm just. And when you do my will my way, and when you carry out my plan on the earth, now you are doing justice, and there's a blessing on the other side of that. There's a blessing that comes with that. There's something that takes place where you just have that capacity to succeed. That's what being blessed is. God says, when you do my plan, when you carry it out on the earth, even though you don't understand it, even though you don't know why do they want me to go 65 when 70 feels so good? God says, when you do that, you're blessed. When you do that, it's a guideline in your life that keeps you from crashing and keeps you going in the direction that you need to go. If you guys got something from the Word of the Lord tonight, come on, let's give God a great big praise. Woo! Hallelujah. God is so good.